Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, today to partake of the bread from heaven. Lord, we thank you because you're working in us, Lord, both to will and to do your good pleasure. Lord, we ask that your word today will come to us powerfully, strongly, transforming our hearts and our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that your spirit will enlighten every heart listening to this and cause every word that is necessary for each person's situation to be revealed to that person in the name of Jesus, we pray. And let all the glory and all the honor be unto you and you alone in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, maybe we should start by reading a few portions of the scripture. But first of all, let me correct something I said last time. I said we're titling our series Destined to Rule. I wanted to say Destined to Reign. All right, there's no much difference, but I prefer the title Destined to Reign. Now, today's message will be a continuation of what we said last time, and I will, for a minute, quickly recap some of the things we said. Now, in starting this series, we explained that, that's reading from Revelation chapter 17 and from verse 14, that the Bible says that the Lamb will overcome the beast. And the reason why the Lamb will overcome the beast is because the Lamb is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that the people that are with him are what the Bible called, those the Bible called the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And I will emphasize that the lords and the kings are the important things here. That is, God, Jesus is not overcoming just because he's so powerful. Because here he is described as a Lamb. And the Lamb is not really a very powerful animal. So when the Bible uses types, you have to understand what he's saying. Here he's describing as a Lamb. So the thing about the Lamb here is not the power. Because if he was going to overcome him because of his own power that he had, I believe very strongly that the scriptures will have called him here the Lion. Do you understand? Which is another title, that another type that the Lord uses to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. But that in the same manner in which the Bible said in verse 12 of that Revelation chapter 17, that these have one purpose and they give their power and authority to the beast. I said that what the Bible was inferring for us to understand there is that the same way that these kings have give their power and the authority to the beast, we can say that the beast was the king of those 10 kings, you understand, and the lord of those 10 kings. But then the Bible says concerning the Lamb that he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That is overcoming the beast, not with the power inherent in himself, but the one he had taught his people to acquire before God. And those people, in the same manner as the other kings submitted their kingdoms to the beast, they will also submit their own authority and their power to the Lamb. And that is how the Lamb will overcome them. So we're explaining that when the Bible talks about the kingdom of God reigning over all the earth, that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. The way by which we do it is very simple. That is, every sphere of this life, we have one of the lords that belong to Jesus and one of the kings that belong to Jesus reigning over it. And that is how he will be the final authority over the whole earth. We see that it is because his lords and his kings will be in every sphere and every part of this life. That is why he will become the king over everything. So that the kingdoms of this world, the Bible says, will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And that he will reign forever and ever. So that was what we saw last time. Now, I think I emphasized very strongly then that that is a plan of God. That his kings will take over kingdoms. That his lords will take over kingdoms. That is, it is not that he will just, because he's the mighty king, he will just overtake everything. But because of the people that are with him, that is why he will be able to take over kingdoms. Meaning, therefore, that the Bible said, if I'm just referring to this, he said, Psalm 110, we read, he said, sit at my right hand until I make all thy enemies the footstool for thy feet. That is, there is a process that God is following. That the Lord Jesus will sit down until the time will have come that he will have made all his enemies a footstool for his feet. Now you have to bear something there. The Bible describes Jesus Christ as the head of the church, which means his feet are what? Part of the body. And the church is the body of Christ. When it says the body of Christ, that is every other part of that person called Jesus Christ, apart from his head, is called the church of Christ. So when he talks about
sitting at his right hand until all his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. That is, what we are saying is that all the enemies of Jesus will become subjects to the church of God on the earth. Now, there's one thing I have to emphasize before I go on to this message. That God has not ever ordained that the way this thing will happen is that church denominations will take over kingdoms. Look, that's a Mormon mentality. You know what I call a Mormon mentality? The Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. That's their mentality. They invest a lot as a unit, as a body. They invest heavily. And they make billions of dollars annually from their investment. Now, I believe very strongly that one mistake that we make as the body of Christ, that is a true church of God on the earth, is that we have thought that all this power that we are talking about has to come to a denomination. I remember some time ago, I listened to one prominent minister. He was explaining that churches should do business. That like a church, instead of building a big building, they should take the money and invest in the capital market. They should set up their banks. They should set up things. And you find that being done a lot. Now, you have to understand this, that when such things are being done on the earth, there's nothing wrong with them. Depends on the purpose for which you are doing it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, schools were built by churches, mission schools. But it was not for making profit. Do you get my point? It was not even for dominating the atmosphere, the environment per se. But it was done so that people will be able to have education. Do you understand the point I'm making there? So churches involve themselves in that. Churches can have projects so as to make the lives of their members and even the society around them better. The aim, all right, is not so that churches will, as a body, now take over. You say, okay, which church is controlling banking in Nigeria now? You mentioned one major denomination. That is not what God is saying. You have to get that point clearly. The Bible makes it clearly clear that we are members of his body. If you read the Amplified Bible, it says first individually and also collectively. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, it is not a denominational thing. Rather, it is an individual thing. One of the things that have held progress back from the body of Christ is that people have thought that everything must be done under the shadow of a denomination. But that is not what God is asking for. What God is saying is that, you see, I always try to emphasize this to believers, that the reason why you go to church is not to be a part of an organization. The reason why you go to church is so that your spirit will be enlightened, so that when you come out of church, you will be able to do the work of God outside. You understand the point I'm making? Like we read then from Ephesians chapter 4, that the Bible says that he gave gifts unto men. He gave some as apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, and all that. But there was a purpose for that. It said, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, or the work of the ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ. Do you understand my point? That is, the reason why you go to church is to be equipped to do the real work that God has ordained you to do. Now, what I'm emphasizing to us today is that God is not saying that denominations, people should gather as denominations and take over kingdoms for Jesus. That is not so. Denominations and churches are designed primarily to equip people to be able to do the work of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say there? They were designed primarily to equip people to be able to do the work of God. They were not at all designed in such a manner as to be the one to do the work of God per se. They were designed to equip people to do that work of the ministry. And what we are discussing here is the work of the ministry. That is, God has proposed that is the kingdom of God will spread on this earth. And what I have explained, which I'm still trying to recapitulate, is the fact that the spread of the kingdom of God is determined by the spread of the influence of the people that belong to God. Now, there is something I say again and again, and I like to say it again. God does not rule on the earth, neither does the devil. It is not true that because of the sin of Adam, the devil now gained dominion over the whole earth. It has never happened. The Bible says the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. When that statement was being made, it was made in the book of Psalms. They understood at that point in time, God knew that Adam had already fallen, yet he still said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, what determines who reigns on the earth is not where it's not whether Adam sinned or Adam did not sin. What happens is that each person that God has given dominion and authority to today, Do you understand the point? Each person that God has given dominion and authority to today will submit his dominion and authority either to the devil, you understand, or submitting to God. Now, depending on the person that this dominion is submitted to, that will determine whether God is reigning on the earth or the devil is reigning. That's why we read in Revelation chapter 17, where we're reading just now, that there were 10 kings who gave their dominion to the beast, who gave their authority to the beast. And they are also what the Bible calls lords and kings that will give their authority and their dominion to the Lamb. And it is based upon this that the Lamb will overcome the beast. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? What he's doing actually is to empower his kings by various techniques that he had learned, because the Bible said he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And everybody that follows in his footsteps also gets the same authority that God gave to him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When James and John went to him, they said, "Grant that we sit at your right hand and on your left hand in your kingdom." And he said that the first criterion is that you pass through what I'm about to pass through, that you drink of the same cup that I'm about to drink. What I'm saying here is this: if anybody is obedient, the Bible says, unto the point of death, he also will be crowned with glory and honor. Like we read last week from Hebrews chapter 2, that the Bible says that what he's doing is to bring many sons to glory. What he's doing is not to sit down as a glorious king that has been crowned, but what he's doing is to bring many sons to glory. Do you understand the point I'm making there? He's bringing many sons to glory by the things that he's doing, so that by working with his kings, by giving instruction to the kings and lords that are under his command, those ones will also get dominion and authority and reign on the earth. And when they are reigning, you now see that the kingdom of God has spread to those places. What am I trying to say? If I am the Lord of this building, inside this building, the kingdom of God is automatically established. It is not that God will start writing laws for nations. No, you have to understand this. What he will do is that he will set the proper place people into proper places. And as a result of that, the effect of the working of the kingdom of God will be felt in the midst of them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So that the dominion of Jesus is determined by the dominion of the people that carry the Spirit of Christ. It is not as if God sits in the heavens and you say he has dominion. No, it's not like that. What happens is that, yes, he sits in the heavens. Jesus and God told him, "Sit at my right hand until I make all thy enemies a footstool for thy feet." Your feet are part of your body. That is, I will cause everybody on earth that is not part of your kingdom to be subject to every member of your kingdom, because his feet are the lowest part of the body. Are you getting the logic there? That is, you will see that the smallest amongst them will become a nation. That's exactly what he's describing. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say there very closely. So that's what we did. We saw last time that the reign of Jesus is determined by the spread of the dominion of the people that are subject to him. It is determined by the spread of the dominion of the people that are subject to him. That is, if a man who is subject to Christ Jesus becomes the dominating force in banking in Nigeria, that shows that the kingdom of banking has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, if you go to sports, maybe, you know, I was reading somewhere in the papers the other day about one foreign star that wanted to act in Nigeria and said that all the executive producers want to sleep with all the actresses before they give them roles. And I've heard it before that it's not a lie. And I said, well, it is just a part of the, what you call the world. It's just a part of the world that people walk in darkness. But then when you will know that the kingdom of God has begun to reign in that place, is that a man who will become the prominent person there will be a man that is upheld by the righteousness of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, the word of God is the standard for living. Then you know that the kingdom of God indeed has spread to that place. And I'm emphasizing to us that this dominion is not a dominion of a denomination. Rather, it is a dominion of the individuals that are subject to the word of God. Now, I want us to go on from there and begin to examine what we have in store for today. And I want to title today's message, "The Grace for Promotion." Now, last week's message, I titled it, of course, you can imagine, what title do you think I will have given it? Kings and Lords, you understand? Okay. Kings and Lords, that's what I titled last week's message. Today's one, I want to title it, "The Grace for Promotion." Now, what I want to explain by this, Maybe I should just quickly start by explaining this. Is the fact that, you know, there's one major thing that Christians have to get into their heads. There was a time somebody was telling me about a specialist who went to his church, I want to say specialist now, a doctor, and told everybody in his church that since he's now a specialist in this particular field, that all the people that need those services should come to him because he's a Christian and the other people in that field are unbelievers. Now, I want you to understand something here. He said that everybody should come to him because he's a Christian and then the other people are unbelievers. Now, I have always found this thing as an issue. You know, those days when they say Nigerians don't patronize made in Nigeria goods, I used to say now there were two factors about it. Now, the first factor was that of quality. Now, because of time, people had gotten used to that experiences. They had gotten used to the fact that Nigeria didn't manufacture much. And the little we manufactured were not the top quality. So they were used to buying things that were imported. You understand what I'm trying to say? So it became part of our mentality that imported things are better than locally made things. Now, some people say that Nigeria should patronize made in Nigeria goods. I say, you have to bear in mind that there are two issues here. It is not just the issue of being patriotic, that there is the issue of quality. That if when Nigerians find made in Nigeria goods are of quality, all right, they will buy made in Nigeria. Now, there might be a gap during the period that they switch over. But the issue is that they will move over to buy made in Nigeria things if made in Nigeria things are good. I remember, I can't remember for sure, but one of my friends said he remembers very well that years ago, made in Japan electronics were second rate goods. Then people bought things that were made in England, made in the United States. But if you bought something made in Japan, you are buying a second-rate equipment. But now, if you want to buy an appliance and it is made in Japan, your heart is at rest. I remember the first time I bought a television and I still have the TV, though it's a bit faulty now. I'll soon repair it, all right? What's the make of that TV again, wife? That's our TV that we're using before. Samsung. Thank you very much. Samsung. Yes, Samsung. In fact, the only reason why I bought that TV then was because I had seen the advert on Eurosport of this company called Samsung. So I went to TV and then I got a good deal for their video recording machine and the television. So I bought the two of them. Now, nobody had ever, in Nigeria, there was nobody I knew that saw my appliances that had ever seen Samsung. And it was like, oh, made in Korea, that is why it is cheap. You understand my point? It was slightly cheaper than Sony and all the other ones. Now, without dragging the story further, now they dominate the handset market in Nigeria. They are almost dominating the new car market in Nigeria that is made in South Korea. Now, when you see things made in Korea, now you don't look at them with one kind eye. You understand that they are quality equipment. They are the world's largest manufacturer of microchips. You understand my point? That is, things made in South Korea are known now to be of quality. Now, I'm telling you about when I bought this television, I'm telling you about, I think in 1995. That's exactly 10 years ago. And people were only like, in fact, then when you bought something, it was because you didn't have money. If you had money, you would buy another one. Do you get my point? But now if you go and buy IKEA, nobody will tell you that because most people can't even afford it. You understand the point I'm making? Now, but these are made in a particular country. There was a time that Hyundai XL was Europe's most valuable car. Now, there's something I'm coming to in all of this speech I'm making. Now, I have explained that we are talking about destined to reign, that God has ordained that the people that name the name of Jesus will dominate every kingdom on this earth. But I want to bring something out, that it is not that he's trying to entrench mediocrity. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? God will not promote you above an unbeliever that is better than you just because you're a Christian. God has no plan of promoting you above an unbeliever who is better than you. That's not what we are talking about, takeover of kingdoms. That's not what we are talking about. That because I'm a child of God, after that guy is an unbeliever. If he's better than you, he will get the job and you will lose it. See, let me explain something about Christianity for a moment. This is religion. Once you put the name Christian, people assume it is superior. That's not what God is doing. What God is doing is this. This is what the truth is. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Are you following that? that whosoever will believe in him will not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. What does that mean? That his begotten son coming into the world was not the aim. It was the means to an aim. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, when Jesus came, it wasn't just so that he would come and say, I have come. It was that I looked and said, Kai, they are perishing. And I do not want them to perish. I want them to have eternal life. My only begotten son will be the one to bring eternal life. That is the way by which I will bring eternal life. Send my only begotten son. Which means that my only begotten son arriving is not the end. It just shows that the process has begun. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That it is not just to name the name of Christ, but that there is something that the naming of the name of Christ should produce in your life. And that thing that it produces is what God is coming out for. Do you understand my point? I remember I was given an example earlier about this man who I heard went to tell the people that, look, if you need this particular area, anything, that I'm your brother, you know, I should do it for you. Now, if I find you patronizing another person, then you are not a faithful Christian. I said, that is an error. Are you getting my point? If you are a craftsman, you are an engineer or an architect, and I will not patronize you because you are a believer. I will patronize you because your faith has caused your work to be excellent. That is, it is the excellence that brings people to you. It is not that you name the name of Christ. What will happen afterwards is that people will now say, how come your work is this excellent? Then you will say, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty is giving me understanding. That's what I am calling the grace for promotion. That God will not promote you just because you have given an offering and you are a Christian. You know, there is, oh God, we need to balance the gospel well. People make it look as if do certain acts and instantly you are promoted. I was hearing a man talk the other time that, look, there's somebody he knew working in a place, supposed to be doing marketing. All the person needs to do just be calling him and he will just be telling him how what to do. And they're like, look, that is not the purpose of the gospel. God is not trying to make his children puppets of prophets. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is not that when I wake up in the morning, my car is faulty. I phone a prophet and say, what should I do about a faulty car? Are you getting my point? That's not what he's trying to do. What he's doing is to empower people with his word. Now, get this. Let me tie it to that. John chapter 3, verse 16. He says, so that they will have eternal life. That is, a man that has eternal death. You understand what I'm trying to say? If he's a mechanic, his work should be inferior to the man that has eternal life. And the man that has eternal life, if his work is not superior to everybody else's own, then he should understand that he's working short of God's glory. Maybe another time we'll talk about the power of sin. That is, what sin does actually is to prevent people from walking in the realm of glory. Glory does not mean as I'm walking like this, I don't feel potholes and there's just this cloud over my head. That's not what glory is. Glory means that if I see a difficult problem, I get in there and by inspiration, I solve it. That's what I'm calling the grace for promotion. I want to explain it properly. That God is not trying at all to entrench mediocrity by promoting his children. His children that will not do excellently will not go anywhere far. Let me explain that clearly. If your spirituality does not translate to practical things, then you are not functionally spiritual. Let me use that word. You know, there's one scripture we read. I think that was Ecclesiastes chapter 6. I'll read from verse 7. It said, all a man's labor is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not satisfied. It said, for what advantage does a wise man have over the fool? It said, what advantage does a poor man have knowing how to walk before the living? Now, let me just quickly explain that. I explained it in previous times, but for today's meeting, it's important I explain what I'm saying here. What he was saying is simple, that all a man's labor is for his mouth. He said, now, if all a man's labor is for his mouth, that is to have satisfaction in life, that's what he was trying to say there. Now, a man claims to be wise. That is, he knows how to walk before the living. He knows how to negotiate a business. He knows the wisdom of this life. He said, yet he is poor. He's not satisfied in life. He said, what's the advantage is his wisdom? Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, I read them, Rich Dad Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki said something. That stop taking advice on investment from professional investors who have not yet made money. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That a young boy goes to school, gets a degree in investment. Then he starts giving counsel on how to make money by investing. Then you ask him, do you have $1 million? He says, no. Then how has your knowledge of investment paid off? That's what the Ecclesiastes was saying here. That if you claim to have that wisdom, it must produce results. What am I saying here? That what God is doing by eternal life is that eternal life must bring people out of destruction and bring them to a position of excellence. So when we are talking about kings and lords reigning on the earth, God is not at all trying to entrench mediocrity. Let me get that out very clearly. As a child of God, if you are not excellent, you can give all the offerings you like, you will not be promoted. Look, God is kind. Do you follow my point? God is very kind. He will not find an excellent person and put an inferior person in charge, thereby punishing the population that need that service. There was a friend of mine who was working in a bank some time ago and he resigned. I said, this is a good bank. Everybody likes it. Why do you want to resign? He said, that bank has no future. I said, what do you mean? He said that the MD has a habit of promoting people based on relationship, not based on expertise. That you will find people who are far inferior to other people. You come today. Next day, he has promoted the person just because they are from the same geographical area. He said that bank has no future. Now, I'm just using his words to explain a principle. That it God, if you know, Jesus, when he's speaking sometimes, he'll tell you, even if you as a man can do this thing, how much more your heavenly father give good gifts to those to his children. In the same manner, if a man knows what is good and what is wrong, how much more God? That is, God will not say, because you are a child of God, I will promote you no matter how bad you are. You will run the company down. Yes, this company was worth 500 million naira by the time you took over. After 5 years, it's now worth only 50 million. Then I'll promote you because your offering is very good in church. I'll go and put you in another company that's worth 1 billion so you can run it down for me. Thereby bringing shame to the name of God. That's not what he's trying to do. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We are talking about what? The grace for promotion. Now, there's a scripture I want us to read. Now, because of time, I'll quickly go there and read it so that 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, so we can save time. He said, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you might proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you have King James, it will say to proclaim the praises of him. All right? But I use New American Standard. I use the word excellencies. In fact, this was one of the scriptures that endeared New American Standard Bible to my heart. Because then the late Bishop Alfred Lopetaife, he came to our school then, I was in university. And he was preaching and he was explaining the meaning of the word praises. He gave the Greek word and said the appropriate rendering actually is excellencies. And one brother beside me, he tapped me and showed me that his Bible got it right. That the word there is excellencies, and that was the New American Standard Bible that he was using. Just to complete the story, the guy were classmates, but he was studying economics. That is, we're not the same class. I mean, we entered school, we're in the level mates. So he was graduating 2 years ahead of me. I was a medical student. So when he was leaving, he said, I should look amongst all these things and pick anything I like. Now, the man had many things. I didn't think for 5 seconds, I'd give him that Bible. It pained him because I had begged him before. He refused. Then he opened his mouth and said, ask anything you want up to half of my kingdom. I said, don't worry. Give me the Bible. Do you not still have that Bible till today? That was 1989. I still have that Bible till today. It's torn. It's in pieces. I've bought at least 5 different copies of New American Standard Bible since then, but I still have that his Bible. And that's just by the way. But the point I'm making here is this, that the word is excellencies, that what God is choosing you for as a royal priesthood and as a holy nation is to be able to show his excellencies in you. Do you follow my point? This is what God is doing, that he will give inspiration to you, you will solve technical problems, and people will respect the God that you serve. Are you following me? Now, I'm going to look at a few examples today, and I think that will be good for us to. I will read a long length of scriptures. I will read from Daniel chapter 1 first. We are talking about the grace for promotion. And I want us to quickly look into how Daniel was promoted. Daniel was anointed Daniel, God ordained Daniel for promotion. Do you understand my point? But the promotion did not come by, you know, Christians love romantic stories. No, I mean by romantic stories. Stories that massages the limbic system of the brain. For those of you who understand, you know, makes your emotions feel good. It makes you expect the, like they say, expect the unexpected. It makes you behave as if life is not real, that problems are not real and solutions cannot be imagined. So a man will come and say, today I am poor, and then tomorrow I will just sit in the center of the road. Then God just sent one multimillionaire to me, and he met me and said, oh boy, what are you doing in the center of the road? He said, it's because I'm waiting for the God. He said, okay, God said I should give you $100 million. Go forth and prosper. And we shall, woo, 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 woo. Now, get my point. Anytime, you know, churches will put that kind of testimony in the center. Now, let me tell you what that does. It makes everybody else become irresponsible, and they go around waiting for fantastic miracles to happen. Do you understand the point I'm making? Go and read proper testimonies. Look, I'm not saying those things are not, they don't ever happen, but they are 1 out of 100,000. Do you get my point? That is, the way by which God promotes people is usually not like that. So you know what we like? We like to hear stories like, the boss just entered and said, you, I like you. I want to employ you. I just like you. He said, it was the glory of God upon my head. You know, some of these things, they border on fallacy. What I'm trying to say is that you don't understand that that is not what God wants to do. He doesn't want people to like you for no reason. What does he want? He wants a spirit, the type that was on Daniel. Because of time, please, I think I should read this one fully. Now, if you read Daniel chapter 1 from verse 17, he said, as for these four youths, he was talking about Daniel and his friends. He said, God gave them knowledge. That's what God does. God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Listen, that was what gave Daniel promotion. No king ever looked at Daniel and said, I just like you. No. It was his track record that gave him promotion. Do you follow the point I'm making? No, look, he said, then at the end of the days, verse 18, we the king has specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. And listen to this. The king talked with them. There was no inspiration. Listen. And out of them, he said, and out of them all, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. The king interviewed them and discovered how good they were. It was not like they were, you know, we like stupid testimonies. There were 10 people better than me there. I was the least qualified, yet I was the only one that was chosen. No, it makes us feel happy. We keep on deceiving ourselves as if God is trying to entrench the mediocrity. Do you get the point I'm making? Let me tell you the truth. The first time I went for residency training, one of the reasons I was taking was that when we did the test, I scored the highest. That is what God wants. I'm telling you the truth. When I went for interview in Luth, our written test, I scored the highest. Now, how I came to score the highest is a different matter. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But it's not that somebody just liked you. Say, you, I perceive that there is something upon you. It's not those funny. Those are the things that have turned Christianity to. That is why a communist will look at you and despise you, because he thinks you are a congregation of lazy people. That is why hardworking people will look at you and despise you. Look, you see, you know, I told that one of the problems I have is talking to people who have faith. You know what I mean by faith? You cannot seem to reason with them because they think that they have faith. Are you getting the point I'm making? A friend of mine did a business some time ago. He situated a hospital in the bush. So his pastor said that, is this not too far away from where people go? You know what he said? God can bring people. You know, we make stupid statements, hiding behind God, behaving as if God did not set proper order into the earth by which we will succeed. The king appointed Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah because he didn't find anybody better. It wasn't because he liked them. The grace for promotion is not to entrench mediocrity. You are not good in your job, and you are confessing every morning, I am the head, I am the head, I am the head. They bring a problem, you can't solve it. You are a stupid man. You're not the head. The truth is that you're a stupid man. That is the truth. You are not the head anywhere. If you are confessing I am the head, so as to make you the best in what you do, then I understand. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, God is not going to promote you to a big place that he has not equipped you to handle. He doesn't want an MD that does not know how to direct. You know, who lives by tithes and offerings and supernatural manifestation that I don't know what happened, though. The problem was just solved. It was, you know, the previous night, I just went to church and just prayed. And I said, God, God. And then when I finished praying, I sealed my prayer with an offering and then I came out. And then suddenly I don't know what happened. The problem just vanished. Now listen to me. Those things happen once in a while. I'm not saying they don't happen. But usually what God does, this is what he wants. After you have prayed that night, if you like, you have added an offering to it and you go to sleep. In a dream of the night, so you can have a dream that will suddenly tell you that this is how to do this. You understand what I'm trying to say? The GO of a Redeemed Christian Church of God, E. Adeboye, said something. He said when he was doing his PhD, you know, he was a mathematician, that there was a problem he had and he didn't know how to solve it. And then one day he prayed and one thing came to his mind, the parting of the Red Sea. So he went back to his office and decided to separate the equations into two. He put some to the left and put some to the right. The moment he did that, he was able to solve all the problems on the left, solve all the ones on the right, then he united them back again, and that was the answer. That's how he got his PhD. It is not that, brethren, I submitted a rubbish project and they approved it. Amen, amen, amen. Entrenching mediocrity by testimonies. You understand what I'm trying to say? People make you look like, brethren, I didn't know anything. I went for that exam. I didn't know anything at all. I was as stupid as they could be. The examiner finished examining me, and then just said, you, take time, but I will pass you. And they will come to church and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, brethren. Ooh, sing with me. You don't know what God is for me today. I was supposed to fail, but I passed. No, that's not God's plan. Let's stop magnifying things that happen once out of 100,000 times as if that is the pattern of Christianity. That Christianities are people of ignorance, mediocres, people who don't know how to solve difficult problems, but who God will, despite the fact that they are bad, make them the rulers of the earth. Why? Because they are believers, you know, believers. No, this is what wisdom does for a man. He makes him able to practice and be satisfied with the labor of his hands. That's what wisdom does for him. And the same manner, what faith does is to produce excellence in the fellow. Do you get the point I'm making? So we're reading the story of Daniel. What did he say? He said, verse 20, why did the king appoint him? He said, as for every matter of wisdom, listen to this. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. It was not that the Spirit of God was upon them as he was looking at their face. Something in him was just liking them. Something in him was just liking them. No, that's not the point. They will bring a difficult problems. They will call the magicians. Those guys will try. They will take time. Then Daniel will just look at it and say, what is so difficult about this? And give 2 words and the thing is solved. And the king says, are you serious? Then they'll call Azariah. It's okay. How do we build? There's this architectural job that is going on. We have tried to see how we can do this, and it doesn't work. Our magicians, our architects, our native architects have been working for the last 8 months on it, and there are 10 of them in that committee. And the man says, for what? Why don't you cut one cedar tree and put it in the center here and do this and do that? And that will be done. And in 5 minutes, the king looks and says, what? You have solved in 5 minutes problems that 10 people couldn't solve over 8 months? He said, your highness, I didn't think it was so difficult. He said, no, henceforth, you are my chief architect. Do you understand my point? It is not, no, I was just fishing. No, I was just fishing. It was fish I was catching. They just appointed me chief architect. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a corrupt mentality of Nigerians that make those testimonies sound good. Because if you were a giver at heart, you wouldn't take that kind of a job. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? If you're a giver at heart, you wouldn't want a job that you don't know how to do. I hope you are following me in the points I'm making this evening. So, Get that? That was the reason why the king Nebuchadnezzar appointed Daniel and his friends. It was because in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which he consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers which were in all his realm. Now, the same thing happened when, you know, after that king, naturally Daniel, after one king takes over from another, he sacks all the other ministers and then he kept him behind. And then one day, Nebuchadnezzar's son was having a banquet and a hand appeared on the wall and began to write. He called again all the magicians and all the conjurers, come and tell me what this is. And nobody knew it. But what happened? His mother that came out and said this. Daniel chapter 5, verse 11. He said, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And your father, the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. What was the reason? Verse 12. This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge, and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. Track record. Listen to me. Before God, this is better than one fantastic testimony that I never knew what was going on. They just called me and said, it is you that is in charge. God has never done anything like that. Even when he appoints you, David, I have anointed you king in Israel. But, oh boy, all you know how to do now is to rear sheep. So continue rearing sheep until you prove to everybody you can be king. So that by the time Saul died, the Israelites now came to him and said, while Saul was alive, you were the one that was actually our leader. They had seen this guy wage war. They had seen the men around him, how skilled they were. So the other people said, no, there is no better king than that one. Listen, despite the fact that God had anointed him, until he had records to show, nobody called him and made him king. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't be carried away by romantic stories. Christians love too much to live by goose pimples. How do I know a man I should marry? Go and marry the man you hate that God said you should marry. Let me see how you enjoy your life. Which man should you marry? If you like him, marry him. What is wrong with you? Which, you know, I can't, you know, we have made life so difficult. Do you get the point I'm making? There are basic issues that God has given to you. Make sure as a believer, you know, in fact, there are things that, listen, there are some people who won't gel with your spirit. Do you get my point? You as a woman, you are going somewhere in life. You see a man that doesn't know anything. When you wake up in the morning, it is Manchester United. At night, he sits down grumbling about the country. And then he will do his job sloppily. They will give him query today. You know, at the end of the day, you will ask the guy. That you ask yourself, if I see this guy near my house again, it means that I don't plan to go anywhere if I follow him. No, you know, there are things that we don't, I'm not saying you don't pray about them. But the manifestations are not, you know, out of the blues. You know, this thing just, you know, I was just sitting down. Believe me, I was just sitting down. And then, I don't know what happened, but I just heard a voice. Now, listen, it happens. Do you follow my point? It does happen. Once out of a million.